Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the recorded morning service from Wallington and St Andrew's Cheam United Reformed Churches for Sunday, the 18th of April. The service today is led by our minister, the Reverend Craig Bowman.
Wherever you are and whoever you are, welcome to our worship. When fear and doubt stroll through our doors, God stands beside us, whispering of peace. When we toss and turn late at night, God sits by our bed, singing lullabies of love. When we stumble through the shadows of sin, God illuminates the paths of goodness and joy. We come to worship him. Our opening hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Let us pray. When we are blinded by anger, you pour out your love for all to see. When we wonder what tomorrow will bring, you call us to trust in you. When sadness fills our hearts, you plant gladness in our hearts. God of Easter, touch us with your grace. You show us your hands so we may reach out to mend the broken. You show us your feet so we may walk with those the world passes by. You show us your face so we may know who our sisters and brothers look like. Risen Christ, touch us with your compassion. You open our eyes so we may see God's love. You open our minds so we may welcome God's word. You open our lips so we may be God's witnesses, Spirit of hope. Touch us with your peace. God in community, Holy One, open us to your presence. God of empty tombs, Peter speaks with power and clarity of his faith, while we remain silent. The psalmist speaks of trusting in you, while our doubts overwhelm us. Jesus is ready to come and grace us with peace, but our fears keep our hearts shuttered and locked. God of full hearts, your love can change us from scared people to children of grace. You can weed doubts from our hearts and plant seeds of joy in their place. You can silence the panic of our souls with the peace Jesus offers to each of us. Transform us into Easter people through the power of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Saviour. What marvellous love, what wondrous grace, what abundant mercy God offers to us. We really are God's people. That is exactly who we are. We are God's children, those whose lives have been changed by the one who loves us and forgives us. Thanks be to God. Amen. And the Lord's Prayer, in its more modern form. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen.
I would like for this part of the service to share a short story with you. It refers back to a time when we could readily meet family in the garden or in hospital. I know we haven't been able to do that for a while, but the message still holds true, and let's hope that those days are on the way back. So, are you sitting comfortably? Then I will begin. It's not fair! Christopher threw his school bag on the floor. What's not fair? Asked Mum. In school today, Miss Black made us write our names and Mark and Imam finished way faster than me. They only have four letters to write and I have, He screwed up his small freckled face and counted on his fingers. C-H-R-I-S-T-O-P-H-E-R. 11. Poor old you. Mum poured him a glass of orange juice. Your dad and I never thought of that when we picked your name. Now drink up your juice. We're going to see Pop. Oh, great, I can give him my card. The boy raced over to the sideboard and pulled out a folded sheet of green paper from under an atlas. He'd spent ages yesterday gluing a feather, a leaf and a pile of little twigs in the shape of a bird's nest to the front. He wanted it to remind Pop of his garden. Usually, when he went to see his grandfather, they did lots of fun out-of-doors things, football, painting, digging, bird-watching. But last week, Pop had tripped over a rake and broken his leg. So now he was stuck in hospital with his leg in a pulley. Poor Pop. Christopher prayed every night that God would heal his leg fast. Well done, darling, that looks great. Mum took the card from him for a closer look. Would you like me to write something inside? Yes, please. What shall I put? Christopher screwed up his face again. Put, get well soon, love you lots, from Christopher. Mum took a blue felt tip and wrote inside the card. Then she handed the pen to the boy. You can do the last bit. You know how to write your own name. Oh, Mum, it takes forever, groaned Christopher. Shorten it then, said Mum. Just call yourself Chris. All right. Painstakingly, with his tongue hanging out, the boy wrote the first part of his name. Later that afternoon, they walked along the hospital ward towards a high bed in the corner. It took a moment for Pop to realise he had visitors, and even then Christopher could see he wasn't his usual cheery self. Out in the garden, Pop's smile always seemed to burst from his face, but here in hospital it struggled to turn his mouth up at the edges. Look, Pop, I made this for you. The boy pushed the folded card between his grandfather's listless fingers. Immediately, Pop's tired face brightened. I thought you'd like to see things from the garden while you were in hospital, Christopher beamed. Then, as his grandfather opened the card, he added, Mum helped with some of the words, but I wrote my own name. Did you indeed? Pop read what was written inside, and the next thing he was laughing so hard he had to wipe the tears from his eyes. That's wonderful, just what I needed to hear. He handed the card to Christopher's mum and she started laughing too. What is it? What's so funny? Asked Christopher. It's just you made a little mistake when you shortened your name, Mum explained. Instead of writing from Chris, you put one letter too many. So the card actually says, Get well soon. Love you lots. From Christ. Like I said, it's just what I needed to hear. Pop leaned out of the bed and gave Christopher a big hug. Thank you for reminding me that Jesus loves me lots and wants me to get well soon. And may we all feel Christ's love surrounding and supporting us this Easter time and as we continue on our way out of the lockdown.
Our second hymn. Jesus is Lord, creation's voice declares it.
Jesus is Lord, creation's voice proclaims it. For by his power each tree and flower was planned and made. Jesus is Lord, the universe declares it. Sun, moon and stars in heaven cry, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Praise him with alleluias, for Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord, yet from his throne eternal, in flesh he came to die in pain on Calvary's tree. Jesus is Lord, from him all life proceeding, yes, gave his life a ransom, but setting us free. Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, praise him with alleluias, for Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord, o'er sin the mighty conqueror. From death he rose, and all his foes shall own his name. Jesus is Lord, God sends his Holy Spirit to show by works of power that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord, praise him with alleluias, for Jesus is Lord.
A reading from 1 John, chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word.
Our reading is from Luke chapter 24, starting from verse 36. Jesus appears to the disciples behind closed doors. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see, a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet, and while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Jesus appears to the disciples in Jerusalem. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written: the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Thanks be to God for this reading of his holy word.
When we look at the stories of the earliest Easter experiences, they appear to be eyewitness accounts. Like modern eyewitness accounts, they are all over the place. They disagree on details, some minor, some pretty big. Some give a clearer picture than others. They were all written sometime after the events, and all were written for particular communities, so that people would come to believe in the power of God, as shown in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, the husband of Queen Elizabeth II, died 2 months short of his 100th birthday. Any news article or biography written about him now after his death will be different than those written earlier. And they will also be different than those written when one of his descendants ascends the throne. Each passing year changes how we view not only the present, but also the past. These women and men, disciples, secret admirers and hangers-on, missed their friend, their leader, the one who had opened the scriptures to them in exciting and profound ways. Perhaps it was only after his death that they realised how close they felt to God while they were in his presence. It was only then that all the truth began to fall into place. They desperately wanted more time. They wanted more meals together. They wanted to just sit in his presence. For any of us who have lost loved ones, the longing to have one more conversation is almost universal. It's so real we can almost taste it. When Jesus died, his followers were devastated. That much is clear. When Jesus was executed as an enemy of the state, his followers were scared out of their minds. So at first they scattered. Then they met, usually behind locked doors. They met because some women of their group brought them the news, news not only of an empty tomb, but of resurrection. The women had told them that this Jesus, that they had come to know and love, had been raised from death. Jesus was alive. It was hard to believe. Impossible, in fact. And the risen one proved to be a slippery and elusive figure. Not everyone was at every appearance. In some he could be touched and could eat, and in others the people were told not to touch him. He could pop into and out of locked rooms, like ghosts are supposed to be able to do, but he made it clear he was not a ghost. It was all so confusing. The way Luke tells it, the whole process seems to be a gradual one. A couple of women, whose testimony is worthless in a court of law, remember, an empty grave, a couple of angels, Peter checking up, with us only later discovering the risen Christ may have appeared to him then or later. Two friends meeting a stranger on the road who seems to have some more insight into what has happened and why. And only then, Jesus becomes accessible. Perhaps it is because he was a physician with a slightly more scientifically oriented mind that some of the other Gospels writers, but Luke certainly takes his time to get to the point where Jesus appears in person. He makes sure he sets the scene very carefully. And when Jesus finally does appear, it is in a very specific way. Now, what would Luke's readers have expected? Someone who has been wrongfully killed comes back from the dead, right? What would you expect that to look like? Shining and dazzling clothes, of course, fire and brimstone, thunder and lightning, confrontation and violent reprisals for those who wronged him, and glorious light and comfort for those who have stayed with him till the end. Not so. Although the two messengers first mentioned appear in dazzling clothes, Jesus does not. He is, in fact, so inconspicuous, those who know him don't even recognise him when they meet him on the road. He still looks like an ordinary person. And when he talks, there are no exhortations about how wrong the world has been to nail him to the cross. There is careful, caring explanation, exploration, and interpretation as to how his journey fits in with and gives further and deeper meaning to the journey God has been on with his people for a long time already. Showing them what they thought of as a catastrophe was in fact consistent with the way of God's people and prophets over the ages. Only after all of that has been established, something else happens. They see. The first time they see is when bread is broken. That is no coincidence. Luke narrates it carefully. He links the first appearance of the resurrected Lord with the breaking of bread. Links it with the past. Jesus' life was a life lived, breaking and sharing bread at every opportunity, right until that last faithful night, where they were gathered in the upper room in Jerusalem, and Jesus for the first time said those mysterious words, "This is my body." links it with the present, where they are still gathered together, presumably breaking bread, remembering the wonderful meals they shared with him, remembering that last night. And links with the future. The present for the congregation for whom Luke is writing, with the practice of breaking bread and remembering the meals that Jesus shared with his friends, and especially that last meal, have become a regular occasion and a mark of their identity. Look, Luke says, proof that life conquers death, that Christ is risen, is where bread is broken and we suddenly realise that he is still with us, giving us life, opening our hearts, offering us guidance for our journey. And he is gone. And then suddenly he is there again, right in their midst. He appears like a ghost would, but he isn't a ghost. Would a ghost have holes in his hands and feet, in his sides? Would a glorified Messiah returning from the dead not have been healed from the unjust wounds inflicted on his body? No, says Luke. It is not a glorified ghost in shining armour come to avenge. It is Jesus of Nazareth, holes in his hands and feet. It is not an apparition, a figment of their imagination. It is, in fact, something that their minds would have struggled with. And we struggle with it. Death did not put an end to this life filled with compassion. Jesus of Nazareth is not finished. His practice of sharing meals, his self-giving love, has not gone the way of so many others who have lived that kind of life. He is not dead. He is still present, and especially where bread is broken and people meet around the scriptures and try to understand the ways of God. Not in dazzling white clothes to call his tormentors to account, but with the marks of his suffering still very visible and tangible. The Messiah is not the glorious figure everyone would have expected. He still is the same, journeying beside his friends, teaching the scriptures, breaking bread, one of them, and yet somebody profoundly and ultimately different to them. His disciples can't take it in. What is this? He's here, he's with them, but not in the way they would have expected. And what does he say? Do you have anything here I can eat? Again, it is no coincidence they put fish on the table. Immediately all those fishy meals they have shared come to mind. They are fishermen. Fish has been a large part of their journey with him. They remember the crowds who shared loaves and fishes. And of course, Luke's audience will recognise the sign of the fish as something they have begun leaving on doors and doorposts and walls to mark the meeting places of the people of Christ's way. Ichthus, in Greek, contains the beginning letters of Jesus Christ, Son of God. What Jesus eats in the story is saying in another way what the story reveals. Jesus Christ, Son of God, is present, here in this room, sharing meals with his disciples as he had done before his death, inspiring them, teaching them, loving them, caring for them, guiding them, and encouraging them to leave their hiding place and go out into the world to bear witness to their experience, to proclaim the forgiveness of sins to all the nations. Death has died, vengeance has died, love and compassion live. Jesus' voice still calls, nothing has changed. Suffering may be part of that journey, but it is in no way the end of it. That, in itself, is a wonderful message to proclaim on this or any day. Death has died, vengeance has died, love and compassion live. Jesus' voice still calls, nothing has changed. Suffering may be part of that journey, but it is in no way the end of it. But what should we do about it? And here the how is important. How the risen Christ witnesses to the disciples. First, he asks them about what is troubling them. All too often, it seems, the first thing the church asks people about is their background, their denomination, their theology. Do they want to be a member or serve on a committee or help with junior church? Do we ask them what brought them to the church? What is on their minds? What they are searching for? What troubles them? Second, Jesus shows them his hands. As they gazed at his hands, did they remember the hands that had broken the bread for them? The hands that blessed and multiplied the food for the thousands? The hands that mixed mud and touched a blind man's eyes? The hands that reached out and brought a young girl back to life? Third, he shows them his feet. Did they remember how often they saw those feet, dirty and dusty, from walking the pathways of the kingdom? The way Jesus stretched and flexed those sore feet as he sat by a well, talking with a woman in Samaria. The way Jesus danced with his mother at a wedding in Cana. Did they remember the way Jesus knelt down and washed their feet just a few nights before, as he showed them what discipleship looked like? Finally, Jesus eats a piece of fish, and by doing so, he not only proves to them that he is not a ghost, he reminds them all the times he shared food with them. He reminds them of the way he was willing to eat and drink with the outcasts of the world. He reminds them of the last meal they had shared together, and of the promise he had made to eat and drink with them in the new kingdom, the promise now fulfilled before their very eyes. This is the message we are called to witness to. Remember what Jesus said. Here's the message. The Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. You are witnesses. We are witnesses. Thanks be to God. Our next hymn. In the bulb there is a flower.
A hidden Dear Father, Lord of all, we have gathered in your name and in your presence here in our two churches and in our homes to praise you in worship and to speak with you in prayer. We thank you for our spiritual homes, remembering all those who have gone before us, faithful in service to you and grateful for the knowledge and awareness of your love for them, for their knowledge of needing to share that love with all. We give our heartfelt thanks for your bringing so many to lives lived out in growing faith and the sharing of their gifts in service to you and in your name. We give thanks today for the life of Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, for his strong Christian faith, his leadership and his steadfast support for the Queen in his role as her consort over nearly 70 years. May his example continue to inspire all to be steadfast and sure in their relationships and loyal to higher purposes that bring a strong sense of what is really important for family and community, and a wish to live lives making the most of opportunities and of gifts provided by you, our great God, finding much joy in your diverse and wondrously created world. We pray for all those who are committed to following you and living out their faith in you, inspired by your Holy Spirit, working for peace, reconciliation and unity throughout this land and in the wider world. May they be aware of your presence in all their striving, and that the power of your presence will be witnessed by many who do not know you. For all those who teach your word and seek to bring your children into direct relationship with you, that they may know and love you, seeking to learn and understand your ways. We pray for the work of the Sutton School's Christian workers, that it should continue to bear fruit, and that abundantly. We pray for teachers as they resume their tasks in schools this week, nurturing our children and encouraging them to have hope and aspiration. We pray for Sutton Community Works in the areas of their activity, food banks, street and school pastors, homeless refuges, supporting the elderly, lonely, and those unemployed, and those financially straitened. We pray that we may reflect your image, Lord, in the loving care and consideration we show to each other. We pray for all those known and unknown who suffer today, for those in hospital, for those recovering following treatment, for the unemployed and those who are worried and uncertain of their future. We pray for your comfort for all these and for those who are grieving the loss of a loved one. We pray for all the efforts being made in our country and in the wider world to reduce the incidence of coronavirus and to acquire sufficient vaccine to be able to vaccinate to protect against and prevent the ongoing pandemic. Lord, may we reflect your image in all that we think and do. We pray for those around the world who as Christians face persecution, imprisonment and death. We give thanks for the commitment of CSW to support and help those Christians and those of other faith. We pray for those in countries torn by war, for those living in poverty and starvation, for those living in disaster areas. Lord, may we, as far as we can, put into action your love, care, and our prayers for the world. Help us to support all those who work in our name to challenge injustice, to sustain and offer hope to the poor, and to respond to disasters such as Tear Fund and Christian Aid. We pray too for others who suffer discrimination and hardship because of their colour, faith, or legitimately held political views. We pray for all those who choose to work for peace, however difficult, that you would be with them, confirming their purpose, their conviction of what is right for your world and your children. We think especially today of the country of Myanmar, a country so terribly divided and undergoing major breakdown, and the pain and loss of so many people. This is just one of many areas in the world where division impacts mostly on the weak and vulnerable. Lord, we pray for your church that we may be a beacon of hope, grace, love, and light in this world. May our open doors reflect your open arms to all. May our arms and hands reaching out to those in need reflect your love for all. May our forgiveness of one another reflect your forgiveness for all. We pray for a church inspired and reconciled, a church continuing to work with spiritual vigour and aspiration to build your kingdom here on earth in unity and firmness of purpose. Amen.
Our final hymn. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name. Go now to be God's children in the world. Go now to be Christ's servants in the world. Go now to be the Spirit's hope for the world. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon us and those whom we love, this day and evermore. Amen.
Thank you.